I was reminded as we were singing this morning that one of the things I'm thankful for this morning is that Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday did not fall near spring break. Normally the way it happens is it does, and because of that, many of us are gone. I know there are a few families gone, but I think it's nice that we can be together Good Friday and also this morning and today as a congregation, as a family. We desire to be together in special occasions, and no doubt this morning we desire that as well, and we're able to be. I'm thankful for that. This morning, as we remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we're going to read God's Word in Matthew 28. Matthew 28, the text this morning will be the first six verses of the chapter. And I will not be rereading those verses. We'll read the entire chapter. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail! And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. And when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. When they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Thus far, we read God's word. Let's pray and ask God's blessing in the preaching. Father in heaven, as we hear of the resurrection of Jesus Christ this morning, it's our prayer that the preaching of this resurrection would give us hope and comfort today. It would give us hope and comfort in whatever circumstances we face in our lives. It would give us hope and comfort as we battle against our sin. We're thankful, Lord, that Thou dost give us the preaching of the gospel, and that this is the main part of our worship, that we may hear Thee and what Thou dost have to say to us through Thy servant. And so grant us strength to respond, even as we read of the response of Thy people to the resurrection, where they worshipped Jesus Christ. May that be true of us, that this morning we would worship and honor our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In His name do we pray. Amen. At the beginning of our worship service this morning, we read out of 1 Corinthians 15, and the last verse I read was verse 57, which says this, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." What a powerful verse at the end of a powerful chapter. It's part of what I read yesterday at the graveside ceremony for Mrs. Kananenbelt and with her family. Usually I read out of 1 Corinthians 15, a pastor will, because of the power of that passage. But then you get thinking about that, especially when you stand at the grave. What an amazing word. Victory. Even when you see death, and with her and with many of her loved ones and all of its ugliness and all of its awfulness, yet to believe and know that there's victory in Jesus Christ. And that means not only that her soul and the souls of all of God's people are taken to heaven when they die, but more than that, one day those bodies will be raised and changed to live in heavenly glory. And why is that? What's the foundation of that? What's the ground of that? Well, we have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's because of His victory. And so whenever you think about resurrection, whenever you think at the grave about the victory that's found for God's people, you have to go to Jesus. You have to go to the cross and His resurrection from the dead. That's what 1 Corinthians 15 does. And that's what we do this morning. Because faith views life through the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the victory that He then gives to His people. That's how we view life. That's how we view even our own sinfulness. This morning, we're aware of our own sinfulness. We are. For a Good Friday worship service, we talked about that placard, that sign that was over Jesus on the cross. And one of the ways that we looked at that was that that was supposed to be an accusation. We ought to think about the sign that would be above us if we were hanging on that cross and the sins and the crimes listed there. How ashamed we would be for such a sign to list those crimes and those sins. But what gives us hope? Well, it's not just the cross of Jesus Christ, but also His resurrection from the dead. We know the victory of Jesus Christ when it comes to our sins. And what about the power of sin in our own lives? We're struggling against sin, are we not? We're having to confess sin and sometimes confess over and over again the same sins that we've committed against God and even against others. We might wonder if our sin is too great to ever overcome. But the cross of Jesus, or the resurrection of Jesus Christ, assures us, no, there's a power to overcome this sin. There's victory in the resurrection of Christ. But now that's true as well when it comes to the sufferings of this life and then even death. We see that, you see what happens there through the assurance of the victory of Jesus Christ when He arose from the dead, that death is not the end and suffering in this life is not all that there is, but suffering works for glorification. We see that in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what we want to see this morning as we look at the empty tomb. Seeing the empty tomb with the women who went there and the angel who testified of the reason for it. It was because Jesus was risen from the dead. That all points us to this victory. And faith sees all of life through that victory of Jesus Christ. So we keep that in mind this morning. Those two things. Victory and the empty tomb. And we remember that as we consider this text then under the theme, the empty tomb. We notice first what was seen, secondly what was heard, and finally what this means. First of all, what was seen. We read here in Matthew 28, along with the other gospel accounts, that there were women who arose very early in the morning and began their journey to Jesus' grave. They went there to anoint the body of Jesus, and they did that because of their love for Jesus. We shouldn't forget that. They went there because they loved Jesus. Now, who are these women? Well, we read, first of all, in the text that there was Mary Magdalene, and there was Mary. Mary was probably the mother of James, as she is mentioned in the other gospel accounts. There were other women who went with them as well. These weren't the only two women who went to the grave on that Sunday morning. Understand about these women that they were women who knew Jesus. They were women who followed Jesus. These women were disciples of Jesus Christ. They loved Him. They probably at different times took care of His earthly needs. Mary Magdalene especially was very thankful for Jesus Christ and knew the power of Jesus Christ, as she was one out of whom the Lord cast seven devils. She was a devoted disciple of Christ. We know also, if you look back at chapter 27 of Matthew, that these women were there at the cross of Christ and there at the sepulchre when Jesus' body was buried. No doubt it was still etched on their own minds, Jesus' limp body hanging on the cross. Their master had died. They saw him sink into the abyss of death, overcome by the powers of darkness that had risen against him. But more than that, they were part of the funeral procession. They were part of those who followed Joseph and Nicodemus as they took the dead body of Jesus to the grave, that tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. They saw those men carrying that lifeless body. No doubt they wept as the body of their master passed by. And that still was on their minds. And they remembered that the burial process was rushed because it was the end of the day there on Friday. And the Sabbath started when the sun went down on Friday. And so they were rushing to bury the body of Jesus. And they didn't think that proper honor and respect had been shown to Jesus and all the rush of things. So they wanted to come early on this Sunday morning to finish the anointing of Jesus' body. And so that's what we see here. The women came to the grave early on that Sunday morning because they loved Jesus and they were devoted to Him. Now, they were mistaken in the way that that should be carried out. They had heard the words of Jesus. They had heard the words of Jesus that He told them that He would die after He suffered and He would rise again. They had heard those words of Jesus. So they should have been going to the tomb to see the resurrected body of Jesus. But they weren't going for that purpose. They were going to anoint, expecting to find the dead body of Jesus. They're filled with sorrow as they go. They didn't understand what Jesus had told them. But for all of that, these women loved Jesus Christ. They loved Him by the grace of God. And notice how that love is shown here. The disciples weren't going. The disciples, no doubt, were afraid. They were afraid because they knew that there were guards at the tomb. They were afraid of being associated with Jesus. That was the fear that they had on that Thursday and that Friday. They didn't want to be associated with Jesus. Peter so much that he denied Jesus. The disciples ran away. They're lurking just in the shadows. They don't want to be visible or seen. These women aren't afraid of that. See the courage and the boldness of these women as they go to the grave on this Sunday morning. See their love and devotion in that. And secondly, in the fact that they're going to anoint the body of their Savior. They want to perform one last act of service. They had served Him in other ways when He lived. Now they wanted to serve Him even in His death. So they're single-minded in their devotion to Jesus Christ. He was everything to them. They still believe somehow that He was their Savior. So they're going to complete the embalming of Jesus' body, bringing sweet spices to put with His body, wanting to do that before, in that hotter climate, the body would stink too badly. But what do they see when they arrive at the tomb? What do they see? First of all, they see that the stone is rolled away from the front of that tomb, the stone that covered it. And secondly, what they see is an angel sitting on that stone. And what's implied in that is what they see is an empty tomb. The tomb is empty, and that's what they see through the stone being rolled away and the angel sitting on that stone that once covered the grave. Here we read in the text of how that stone was rolled away. In the Gospel according to Mark, we read there that as they arrived at the tomb, they were wondering how they were going to get that stone rolled away because it was very large. We don't read of that here in Matthew 28, but what we do read of here in Matthew 28 is how that stone was moved and how that stone was rolled away. And so we have some of the events of that early Sunday morning. First of all, there was an earthquake. There was an earthquake. Maybe at the very time when Jesus arose from the dead. After that earthquake, then an angel of God came down and that angel rolled away the stone from the opening of the tomb. Now understand what a great wonder this was. It was a wonder. We want to see the power of God in this. We must see the power of God. Because first of all, we have to remember that the leaders of the Jews wanted a guard to be set there at the tomb. And so a guard was set at that tomb. And along with the guard, mortar was put around that stone to fix that stone there. The leaders of the Jews were concerned that someone would steal the body of Jesus and then claim that His body was raised from the dead because they knew what Jesus had said. And so they wanted to prevent anybody from stealing the body of Jesus. But the idea here in the text, as we read of that stone being rolled away, is not that it was just rolled away a little bit so that there was a little bit of an opening that you could just stick your head in and see. No, the idea was that this stone was rolled and pushed far away. It wasn't right there by the opening. It was pushed far away as if it was thrown away from the tomb. Now, the other thing you have to understand is that this stone in front of the tomb had to be very large. It had to be large because the opening of that tomb, that cave, had to be large enough for men to go into it and then along with that bring a body into it. So it could have been the height of a man. A huge stone rolled in front of it, set there by mortar. And the point is that no man of himself could move that stone. These women had no hope of moving that stone in their own strength. What moves that stone so that it's not just pushed a little bit away, but hurled away almost to a different place? Well, it's the power of God as seen in that angel. In that angel here, we see the revelation of the power and the glory of God there at the tomb. As that revelation of the power and glory of God is there by that angel, remember also that the men, the guards at the tomb, we read in the text, they fell down as if dead. And we read in the other gospel accounts that they then after that ran away. They left the tomb. So that now the women come to the tomb that morning. And what do they see? They see the stone rolled away, signifying the empty tomb. The other thing that they see is the angel of God sitting there on that stone. And notice how the angel here is described. Verse 3, his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. What an amazing thing. It wasn't just seeing an angel in the form of a man, but they saw an angel whose countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. He was glowing. He was shining forth. And that's why we say that the glory of God was revealed here at the tomb in this angel. So the power of God in the moving of the stone and the glory of God in the shining forth of this angel. What does that say to us this morning? It says to us that something amazing happened here. Something amazing. What was it that happened? Well, first of all, it wasn't about the glory and the beauty of that morning. I was reminded of that this morning. We were talking at the breakfast table this morning about the beauty of the morning. Beautiful sunrise, and I told them that. As I saw the light coming in the eastern sky this morning, I was thinking of what it was like for the women to go to the tomb early on that morning when the light was just starting to come in the sky and they were traveling there. And one of my children reminded me and said, well, maybe it was cloudy that morning. Or maybe it was raining. I guess I'd never thought of that. But that tells me, and that tells us, even though we have a beautiful morning this morning, it's not about the beauty of the morning. It wasn't about the sun coming up. It wasn't about a beautiful orange sky on that Sunday morning. It was about so much more. It wasn't just about a stone rolled away and moved far away from that opening. It wasn't just about an angel that was there at the tomb. What it was about was a great and amazing wonder. Our Savior raised from the dead. His body was dead, and then it was alive. An amazing wonder, so amazing that there is no eyewitness of the resurrection itself. God raised Jesus from the dead. His dead body raised to life. That is the idea of the empty tomb. In fact, the scriptures tell us, don't they, that this is one of the evidences of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Along with the message of the angel that we're going to look at in a moment, along with the appearances of Jesus, we read of some of them here in Matthew 28, and you can read of others in the other gospel accounts. But here's one of the evidences of the resurrection of Jesus, the empty tomb. The empty tomb points us to this great wonder. So that's what was seen. What was seen points us to the wonder. Now we notice what was heard there at the tomb. What was heard was a message, a sermon from this angel of God. And there are two parts to this sermon. The first part of the sermon is this. Fear not. Fear not. Those are important words. A command not to be afraid. Now, that was needed because of the appearance of an angel. What does that mean? What does that signify? Is this appearance about the judgment of God? Well, in part, yes. Not for these women. Not for those who belong to Jesus Christ. But for those who don't know Jesus Christ. For those who reject Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. That's what we see especially in the soldiers, the guard who was there. They were afraid. And the message of the angel to them was not, do not be afraid. No, they ought to be afraid. And all those who don't believe in Jesus Christ ought to be afraid as well. These soldiers represent the enemies of Jesus Christ. They have no peace. It's as if they fall down dead before Jesus Christ. It's as if there's destruction and the judgment of God for them right there. That's true then. For all enemies of Jesus Christ, they ought to be afraid, and one day they will be afraid when Jesus returns and they see Him coming with glory. You ought to be afraid, because one of the reasons for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, His ascension into heaven, is that He comes back to judge. He's the judge. He's going to judge those who hate Him and are opposed to Him. And for all the enemies of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ means for them final and complete destruction, because Jesus is coming to judge. But for the child of God, there's no fear. There's no fear in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So Jesus says to the women, don't be afraid. Do not fear. You need not fear. Instead, rejoice and be glad. And they did rejoice, and they were glad because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's not coming in judgment for His own, but the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the revelation of the grace and the love of God. We shouldn't forget that. So we're not just looking at an event that happens. We're seeing what's behind the event. The revelation of the love and the grace of God for His people. And that's why we need not be afraid. Just as those women should not be afraid. Our Savior who died for our sins, has now been raised from the dead, and the tomb is now empty, and because of that, there is victory through Him. Remember 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God for the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's risen. So these words of the angel are wonderful words of hope and comfort and joy. They're words of victory. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And here's the reason. And that's the second part of the sermon. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. What's the message of the angel here? Well, essentially it comes down to this. The tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. This is why you are not to fear. The tomb is empty, and here's the explanation as to why it's empty. It's not because someone has stolen the body of Jesus. It's not anything like that. It's not because enemies have stolen His body. It's not simply that His body has just disappeared. But what the empty tomb means is that He's risen. And He's risen as He said He would rise. So that's the message to these women, and that's the message to us as well this morning. The tomb is empty because Jesus is risen from the dead. Now let's remember, part of the words of the angel here is, this is what you found. You found an empty tomb, and you're finding now that He's risen, but they found that in the way of seeking Him. We noticed earlier their devotion for Jesus, their love for Jesus, and why they came. That's why they came to the tomb. And remember, they loved Jesus because they knew the love of Jesus for them. We always have to get that straight. Our love never comes first. The love of Jesus comes first. The love of Jesus came first here too. They loved Jesus because they knew Jesus' love for them. And that explains why it is, and this morning even, they're seeking Jesus. They're going to the tomb. The angel says, is they're seeking Jesus. Now they wanted to anoint Jesus' body as a last act of love. And that's why they stood at the grave in utter amazement that morning. They couldn't speak. They didn't completely understand what they were hearing. But this we do know about these women. They were seeking Jesus. And they sought Him because they trusted in Him. They still held on to the fact that He was their Savior, as He said. They didn't understand it all. They didn't get it. But God had given to them faith to believe that this Jesus was their Savior. If they didn't believe that, if they didn't think that, why would they have come to the tomb that morning? They knew there was not defeat in this, even though they couldn't understand it. But still, they sought Jesus. We're reminded of something very important here. That this is the way in which we see and understand the victory of Jesus Christ and His resurrection. It's in the way of seeking Him. Now, a lot of people will say today that, oh, everybody's seeking Jesus. Everybody wants Jesus. That's not true. Or that everybody has the ability or the possibility in themselves of seeking Jesus and calling out to Jesus and praying the sinner's prayer. No, that's not the case. What we see and understand here is that there are people who seek Jesus because God has worked that in them. This is part of faith. But now that's an important question for us this morning. Do we seek Jesus? What is it to seek Jesus? Well, seeking Jesus is understanding that we need Him because hope and comfort and salvation is found only in Him. Seeking Jesus is knowing that we need Jesus more than anything else. Consider that from the perspective of the miracle that He performed with the feeding of the 5,000. And there were many who followed Jesus. Thousands followed Him. But what were they following Him for? They wanted bread. They wanted health and wealth. The things that they wanted. And we've taken notice of that as we've looked at the suffering of Jesus. He's not that kind of king. Seeking Jesus for those things is not seeking Jesus in truth. If we're seeking Jesus for those things, we're not going to see like we should the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the significance of that, and that our hope is found in that. But when we see and understand that we need Jesus not for bread, but we need Him because He's the bread of life, and that true spiritual life is found only in Him, then we see the resurrection rightly. And this is the seeking that God works in us so that we know Him, we trust in Him, and we want Him. We want what He has. We want what He gives and not things more than that or things other than that. We don't want anything more and other than that because Jesus gives to us what we need. So that's the question for us. This morning, do we come because we're seeking Jesus? Because we seek the blessings that are found only in Him, spiritual blessings, riches that are found in Him, which are better than food and drink and all other things of this earth. We can even understand that from the perspective of food. We all get hungry at times. Sometimes maybe during a day we're so busy, we don't have time to eat a meal or even grab a snack. By the time we stop, because we've been perpetual motion all day, by the time we stop, now the stomach's growling. We're very hungry. Maybe you come home and you smell some food that's been cooking in the crock pot all day or whatever it might be. And then the stomach especially starts growling and you're even a bit crabby, or the kids can be crabby because they need food. They need sugar in their bloodstream. We understand that. But it's a time for us to remember that as badly as my body needs food, I need Jesus more than that. I need Jesus more than food. That's the seeking here that we are talking about. It's a hungering and thirst for Jesus Christ who is crucified, for the good shepherd who laid down His life for the sheep, for the bread of life who gives to His people true spiritual life. And that kind of seeking, we find a risen Savior. And that's part of the words of the angel. You seek Him, now this is what you find. You find a risen Savior. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid Him. This is why, beloved, we must not be afraid. He is risen. He's risen not like Lazarus was risen from the dead to continue living on earth. No, He is risen with a glorious resurrection as the one who obtained the pardon of sin and won the victory over death. Because sin is paid for, death has no power over him. The scriptures tell us almost nothing about the resurrection itself. As I said earlier, there were no eyewitnesses of the resurrection. None of that is revealed in the Word of God. We don't need that. We're given instead the evidences of His resurrection, the empty tomb, the words here of the angel, and the appearances of Jesus Christ. That must be enough. Faith believes because of these evidences that are given in the Word of God. Now, that's important today too, because so many want to discredit the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They want to say that, yeah, maybe His bones could be found in a tomb. They want to rewrite the story that's found here in the Holy Scriptures. And they turn on what the Word of God itself says. No, we believe the resurrection. Why do we believe it? Because the Word of God tells us it happened. And in the Word of God, we have the sure evidences of it, including His appearances, including the message of the angel, including the empty tomb. But now that's the question for us. Do we believe? Do we hold on to that resurrection of Jesus Christ and hear the gospel message of it? He is risen. This is the good news of the angels to us this morning. He's risen from the dead. He is now alive. His body did not remain in the grave. This is an announcement of wonder. A great wonder took place as well. But now, what does all this mean? We want to take our time this morning to see and understand what it means to see and know the empty tomb. See and know the empty tomb means we know that there is victory. There's victory over sin, and there's victory over death. The Scriptures teach us that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is significant because there is victory over sin. Romans 4, verse 25 tells us that He was raised again for our justification. I remember it wasn't that long ago that we were looking at Lord's Day 17 of the Heidelberg Catechism and looking at the blessings of the resurrection. And this is one of the blessings of the resurrection that is mentioned there. And we took notice of the fact at that time that one of the reasons that we read in the Scriptures at times that God raised Jesus from the dead. There are other times we read that Jesus arose, He was active. But other times we read that God raised Him. The significance of that is to show that God approved of the work of Jesus on the cross. The point being this, Jesus said at the end of His time on the cross, it is finished. His claim was, He finished the work that God gave Him to do. That work was atonement, paying for our sins. Jesus would not have been raised from the dead unless that work was finished. And so, the significance of reading that God raised Jesus from the dead is the Scripture saying to us that God approved of the work of Jesus. That Jesus really did finish the work that God gave Him to do. He was raised again then for our justification. Do you see what that means? It means that the sins that are ours listed on the placard above a cross that we, you might imagine, would hang on. All of those sins, the guilt and the punishment we deserve for every one of them. God looks at them and says, paid in full. Because they are paid in full by Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ assures us this morning of that victory over sin. No punishment. We struggle with our sins at times, don't we? That's especially a struggle for those who can maybe on their deathbeds. They think about their sins in their life. I wonder how they could be saved and how God could love them. But it's not just for the elderly on a deathbed. There are times and moments for us too when the reality of our sin hits us over the head like a 2x4.
And they're so clear before us, and we wonder, how could God love me? How could I be saved? And then we have to remember this. We have to remember the cross. Yes, my conscience accuses me. I've transgressed all the commandments of God. But then look to the cross and look to the resurrection. It's not about me and my doing enough to have this. It's about God and His doing enough. Doing everything that was needed to pay for our sins. And God saying, it is finished. And because of that, beloved, the resurrection means for you and me, we look at life from the perspective of forgiveness and righteousness that God declares that He sees us in. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is victory over sin from that perspective. Secondly, the resurrection of Jesus Christ assures us of the victory over the power of sin in our lives. We have a power that's in us unto a new and holy life because we are risen with Jesus Christ. We look in the scriptures at Romans chapter 6 to see that connection. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Romans 6 verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So notice there the phrase, He was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. We've noticed the glory of the Father there at the tomb even, in the shining and the brightness of that angel. The glory of God raised Jesus from the dead, and it was for the glory of God. But what does that mean for us? Well, just as He was raised up, even so we also should walk in newness of life. What this is saying is that there's a connection between the resurrection and change that takes place in us. Regeneration. Regeneration, remember, is being born again. It's the implanting of the spiritual life of Christ in our hearts. We have this because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. His life is implanted in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We experience in this life the beginning of resurrection. And we experience that in newness of life. Notice it says it that way. Not a perfect life. Newness. Changed life. A life in which there's repentance. A life in which there is devotion. A life in which there's love. Loving others and loving God because we know the love of God for us. Remember, that was the women. They loved Jesus because they knew the love of Jesus for them. That's the way it works with us. There's newness of life. Knowing the love of God, we love as we have been loved. And we forgive as we have been forgiven. So as we battle against sin and wonder sometimes how we can conquer these sin in our lives, the strength is found not in ourselves, but in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We look at our sins from that perspective. That perspective of the victory of Christ's resurrection. Third, we notice this. In the empty tomb, we see the victory of Jesus Christ over death itself. Jesus' resurrection is a pledge of our bodily resurrection. Now think about how amazing that is. I thought of that yesterday. I learned something at the cemetery yesterday that I hadn't known before. Just a minor detail, but as the family, many of the family was there a little bit early at the cemetery. They were talking there with the keeper of the cemetery and the funeral director. And the lid to the vault was nearby. Do you know how much a lid to a vault weighs? 900 pounds. Now you understand why they use a machine to put the lid of the vault on that vault after the casket is placed in it. But think about that. The power it will take to bring bodies out of the grave with lids on that weigh 900 pounds, and on top of that, how many feet of packed earth, and yet nothing for Jesus Christ. all of those vaults will be uncovered and all those bodies raised and brought to the surface of the earth to see Jesus Christ. Maybe it won't be that the vaults, probably not, but the vaults will have to be opened. The tomb of Jesus didn't have to be opened for Him to raise and not be there. Maybe that will be the case in that day too. But the point is the same, the power. We might look at a dead body and think, what can be done with that? Mrs. Kneinenfeld's body wasted away. There's hardly anything left of it. We've seen loved ones that way too, some of us. What can be done with that? But Jesus Christ has the power to make something out of that. Bodies that turn to the dust, bodies that have been burned, He will raise and make them whole and make them full. Spiritual bodies ready to live in heavenly glory. And we know that because of the victory of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. And now, it's not just that. That applies to all the suffering of this life that we go through. We might wonder, how could God bring anything good out of this? When we see the resurrection, that He can bring good out of death, life out of death, well, then He can bring good out of all the sufferings in our life as well. And that's what He's doing. To make us more like Christ. To glorify Himself as He glorifies us in Jesus Christ. What a wonder then is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and what a comfort it is for us as well this morning as we see the empty tomb. Now, this word of victory then ought to deliver us from any indifference that we would have towards Jesus Christ. We've noticed the devotion of the women to the crucified Savior, and especially notice their devotion when they find out that He is risen from the dead. They are devoted. They do what they're told to do by the angel. They go and spread the message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they do that because they love Him. Now that's the question that comes to us. As in the passage we see into the empty tomb, and we see victory over death and sin in Jesus Christ, how do we respond? Where is our devotion to Jesus Christ? Is it strengthened this morning? Do we see our need for Him? Are we going to live out of Him? See, the resurrection of Jesus Christ addresses any indifference we might have. And there's indifference that we struggle with, apathy that we struggle with, whether it's coming to worship like we should or living like we should out there, in our homes, in our work, at school, whatever it may be. But now the resurrection of Jesus Christ encourages us. It encourages us in victory. Now live out of that victory. See life from the perspective of that victory. Live in devotion to Jesus Christ. Hopelessness and despair comes from sin. It comes from sin and the effects of that sin as well. But this morning we see the unfailing mercy and love of God to His children in Jesus Christ. And that doesn't take away all the suffering and hardship. But it gets our focus back where it should be. On Christ. What He has done. His love for us. And now we respond. Love Him. Serve Him. Be devoted to Him in all of life. Because He has won the victory for us. His cross is the accomplishing of it. We see the beauty of it in His resurrection from the dead. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for Jesus' resurrection. We've come here today to bless Thee and praise Thee for His resurrection. And we have been richly blessed as well, as we've heard the preaching of the Word and been reminded of the great power and wonder of Jesus' resurrection and what that means for us. We pray, O Lord, that we may be confident of this victory and that we would live out of this victory. Strengthen us for a life of devotion and honoring our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless us now in our fellowship in the rest of this day, and bring us back here again on this day and we may worship Thee in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name alone do we pray. Amen.